Let go of everyday worries and find your calm with positive prayer from Silent Unity, the newest in voice-activated technology, available on any Alexa-enabled device like the Amazon Echo. Each prayer and meditation on positive prayer will help strengthen, guide, and comfort you. To enable it, just say, "Alexa, open positive prayer." You can ask for a specific prayer on topics like healing, prosperity, and comfort. Give it a try today.
Providing insight and resources for your spiritual journey. Unity Online Radio.
Welcome to World Spirituality, exploring the unity within all cultures and faith traditions with Paul John Roach, minister of Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Discover the universal principles present in all the world's religions and take an incredible journey to new understanding. Now, here is your host, Paul John Roach.
So hello and welcome to World Spirituality on the Unity Online Radio Network. Yes, I'm your host, Paul John Roach, coming to you from Unity Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas. Today is the third in our second series focused on talking to well-known Unity ministers and finding out about their spiritual journeys, their passion, their insights into Unity today, and how to live an integrated and a successful life. Joining me today is Reverend Mark Fuss. He currently serves Unity World Headquarters as Director of Outreach and Engagement, which is a relatively new position in the organization, and that's fascinating. Maybe we'll find out a little more about that. And he was recently in the Development Department. Before that, he worked as Director of Admissions and Continuing Education at Unity Institute. He was ordained as a Unity minister in 2009, and during his training he served as student body president and was also involved in the retreat department and originally, when he first came to the village, in the Unity bookstore. So before ministry, Mark worked in retail management for 20 years in such stores as Williams Sonoma and Macy's Herald Square. So it's a pleasure to welcome Reverend Mark Fuss to today's show. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Well, you know, in each show we've done, we've asked the guests to just tell us a little bit about how they grew up. You know, did you grow up in a religious background? Were you a spiritual person, or did that come later? So tell us about your early years.
Well, I certainly did grow up in a religious household. Paul, I was born in Stone Mountain, Georgia, in the Deep South, in the Bible Belt, was raised Southern Baptist. For much of my life up until college, I was often at church more than I was at home. Very involved. The youth ministry that I was a part of in my preteens and teenage years had a 70-voice youth choir that traveled the Southeast every summer. We actually cut 3 record albums.
So, oh, wow. Cool.
So I was very, very involved. When I was 16, I stood up in front of a full house at a revival meeting and said that I'd been called to ministry. It was one of those moments where I, you know, where you sit back down and you go, what the heck did I just do? But I expressed a call to ministry at age 16, and in the late 70s went off to seminary with Dr. Jerry Falwell at Liberty Baptist College. It was an interesting time. It was the late 70s. It was, if you remember, Anita Bryant and the Dade County Initiative in South Florida. So Anita was singing at chapel services. It was the birthplace of the moral majority. So that was sort of the political arena that I stepped into seminary the first time.
A lot different from Unity.
Very, very different from Unity. you know, just backing up a little bit, I was even in pre-kindergarten and Sunday school, I was always the kid with questions. You know, what about the kids in China that don't know? You know, does this really make sense? And was often told just to sit down and be quiet. So I was always one to question dogma and question theology. And it was about 2 years into my seminary experience where I had a crisis of faith and left seminary and left church. And didn't set foot in a church for another 22 years until I found Unity.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know, one of my first tryouts after I graduated from Unity School was to Lynchburg, Virginia, to the Unity Church there. and they wanted me to stay, and then I also tried out here at Unity of Fort Worth, but I just felt like I could feel the atmosphere, you know, of that town. It's very
it's a company town. It's very,
yeah,
yes.
Definitely. It would have been a hard struggle to be Unity there, but maybe, you know, sure, somebody's called to do that. It wasn't.
There is.
It wasn't me.
Yeah, there's definitely a vibrant ministry. I've met a couple of the ministers that have served there over the last, you know, my last 10, 12 years in Unity.
Yeah, of course, I'm in Fort Worth, which is also kind of Bible Belt,
right,
too. You know, it stretches a long way along the south here.
It does.
Yeah, so you had obviously had a lot of good experiences in that more traditional theology, but then, you know, eventually you felt like it didn't meet your needs in some way, right? It didn't make full sense to you.
Right, right. Yeah, and, you know, the things that I talk about now, I have a talk that I give a lot. It's called The Gospel of Unity, Our Good News. And it came out of my licensing and ordination experience here at Unity Institute and Seminary with Reverend Claudel telling me, you know, what is it? What's your good news? What are you taking out into the world? But I talk about that early experience in a more traditional faith in what I know now theologically is an ethical monotheism. But what I take away from that was that sense of community, the focus on service, on caring for one another, and I also have an abiding love for good music that came out of that experience too.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's many good things in even in the most fundamentalist of churches, right?
Yes.
And I admire that too. And the fact that you're doing outreach for Unity is interesting, isn't it? Because it's got to come full circle there. Because we haven't always emphasized outreach in the Unity tradition. You know, I know social action, we've been talking about that a little bit, but it's not a huge thread in our theology. And I think Fillmore himself, Charles Fillmore, was not really that interested in that. You know, he was a metaphysician. He wanted to teach. He didn't necessarily want to outreach. And so it's interesting, though, that we feel like that's an important part of Unity right now, right? And it's in fact one of the pillars of what we're trying to do at the Village.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because I've given that a lot of thought, and it's very true that much of the Fillmore's teaching was on doing your own inner work. You take care of your own thought, mind, and your own actions, and it wasn't so much of an outward, here we can help with this. But at the same time, the thread that I see running through all of Unity was they were putting out tracts, books, teachings that were widely distributed and fairly new information at the time. You know, I know he leaned heavily on Emerson and the Transcendentalists and Quimby and many of the other metaphysicians of the time, but they weren't publishing and disseminating helpful materials at the level that the Fillmores were. So part of me sees the outreach that we're doing is we're still distributing materials of spiritual support.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you could argue that even Silent Unity itself is a kind of outreach.
Yes.
Because, you know, people call in from many different denominations and receive help. So it reaches out to a wide variety of people worldwide, and that's definitely a form of outreach, I think. Yeah, so it yeah, there is a tradition for it. Not quite in the same way we think of as traditional do-gooding
right.
outreach, you know, into it, but definitely it is a form of it.
Right.
So, did you ponder other faiths and other traditions before you found Unity? Do you notice a commonality in other traditions, or has it been pretty much a straightforward Christian focus for you, Mark?
Well, when I left, when I experienced my crisis of faith, I stepped out of religion so totally. It was, you know, not only did I leave seminary and say, "You've got the wrong guy, God," but I pretty much operated under the "there is no God."
Right.
For 20 plus years. And, you know, while I put together a fairly exciting career moving around the country, living in Manhattan for over 10 years, I was pretty non-spiritual. I found my spirituality, I don't think I would have used that word, but in nature. The outdoors was the place that I went to pull myself back together, and I still see that thread in my my spiritual journey today through Unity. But you know, there's a wonderful quote from Myrtle Fillmore that said, "Nature is surely the glorified face of God." So that actually was my doorway back in to a spiritual experience, and eventually to Unity. And it was the book Celestine Prophecy that. You know, I spent 20 years with multiple addictions. In 1999, I decided it was, you know, time to pull myself together. And so I got clean and sober in 2000. And shortly thereafter, you know, started looking for those things spiritual. And that book was my doorway back in, because it talked about an energy and a spirituality in nature that I could wrap my mind around. And it was about a year after that that I saw an article in the Panama – I was in Panama City, Florida by then. I had found the bottom of the barrel and moved out of New York City, and saw this article about Unity of Panama City and the new building that they had built. And the Audubon Society had given them an award for the way they honored the land, the wetlands around them.
Hopefully.
And I thought to myself, you know, maybe this is a spirituality that I could deal with. And eventually went and visited, sat on the back row in my shorts and sandals, and cried through the whole service. It truly was a coming home experience.
And I think many people in Unity, you know, find God through nature. I know a lot of our congregation does. When I talk to them, you know, what's their motivator? And so I think we share that. And of course, if we're talking about the transcendentalists like Emerson and Thoreau, who influenced Charles and Myrtle,
right.
You know, they were obviously very attuned, weren't they, to the natural world and to the numinous quality of nature, you know, the mystery of nature. And also, you know, like you said, I know a lot of people who first come to Unity and it's such a relief, you know, they found a place that resonates with them, that speaks their language. And often we cry and we let out it's a cathartic experience coming to a place that's non-judgmental, you know, that's very embracing of all parts of us, and we're not miserable sinners because
right.
You know we don't live according to, like you say, the ethical standards of a more traditional theology.
Right.
Not that we don't have ethics in Unity. I don't want to put that out that we're all free about free love and everything. That's not what it's about. But my belief has been, you know, and I think Jesus shared this, when you align yourself with Spirit, then you automatically do the right thing.
Right.
So the ethics follow the spiritual connection, whereas in some traditions, I think the ethics seem to come first, you know, paramount.
Right.
And then if you get everything quite right, you might find God. But in Unity, we would probably put it the other way around.
Right. Yeah. The language that I like is original blessing versus original sin. You know,
yes.
We're not coming from that place of you're broken, but you're whole. And, you know, we're all in this together.
Yes.
And I know
– unity is very – Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, when I first came to Unity, coming out of a traditional Southern Baptist background and the theology of original sin, I had a lot of work to do to wrap my mind around the theology of original blessing, and it felt very radical to me. What's interesting to me now is so much of Christianity, progressive Christianity, is saying the same things and teaching the same things that we are. I mean, you look at Bishop Spong and Marcus Bach, Marcus Borg, so many of those teachers, have moved away from, that ethical monotheism, that original sin theology.
Yes. And we need to thank Matthew Fox, too,
yes.
You know, in his book
Original Blessing,
because, mm-hmm. You know, he contrasts full redemption theology, you know, which is that ethical philosophy with his creation-centered spirituality, which is very much attuned to what we believe in Unity, and that it's a joy, it's a blessing rather than a curse to be alive. I think it was Eric Butterworth that said, the great Unity minister, he says, the fall was a fall forward.
Right.
I've always liked that. You know, the fall of man was not a fall backward, but a fall forward. We had to lose it to find it. You know, I think there's a joy, isn't there, in losing it, because that's how you can find it again. If we're in the bliss of ignorance, you can't really find anything. So there has to be that self-knowledge that, oh dear, you know, this is a gap here between what I would aspire to be and who I'm showing up as right now. But I can aspire because my reality, the truth of me is blessed, is beautiful, is never tainted, which is a wonderful, wonderful theology.
It's a very powerful place to be. I know for me, when I was coming out of 20-year cycle of addiction, and, you know, moving away from the embedded theology that, you know, even though I hadn't been in church in 20 years, that embedded theology was still part of my psyche. And, you know,
yeah.
It's just a very powerful place to be, to have someone say, I behold the Christ in you. And
yes.
You're living from a place of possibility and potentiality rather than brokenness.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I'm sometimes surprised at in Unity is that, you know, we have this all-embracing, expansive message, and yet that we don't always attract, you know, as a diverse a crowd as we would like, I think. I mean, I know there are some, you know, minorities that come to Unity churches, but often it can seem like it's, you know, another form of white people at worship. And that's not completely true, but what's your experience with that?
Well, I would agree. It's a fairly homogenous. Part of it, I think, is cultural differences. Part of it is where a lot of our churches are located. I don't know. I think there are a number of reasons for it. I do think that there is more attention and focus on being intentionally inclusive and diverse.
Yes.
And there's a huge amount of work to be done, both organizationally and in the individual churches.
Right. And it's certainly not because of any theology or any philosophy you know, exclusion. It's the opposite. We are very inclusive. But, so that's an interesting aspect of where we are. And we're certainly open to mm-hmm. More diversity, and we celebrate that. In fact, I've got my next minister up on this series is Reverend Charlene Manuel,
yes.
know, who's one of our wonderful African-American ministers, and I'm looking forward to hearing her viewpoint, because she's not shy in sharing what she thinks.
No, she's not,
and yeah, I love her too, and she serves on the Unity headquarters board, and so is doing, you know, valuable work there, so this is important. Okay, so I'm talking with Mark Fuss, and you are, just tell us, before we go to the break, tell us a little bit about what the Director of Outreach and Engagement is doing here at Unity World Headquarters.
Well, when our new CEO, Jim Blake, came on board, you know, one of the things that Jim talked about with the folks here at Unity Village is we're sitting on 100 plus years of amazing spiritual content. And his challenge was, what are we doing with this? You know, how can we put this in the hands of people, just like the Fillmores did, you know, so many years ago? And we have stuff here that will help people. And so we had already developed through Daily Word Message of Hope outreach program, a book called Never Alone, Facing Cancer with Faith. And so we chose that book as our first outreach project, and we are partnering with 17 Unity churches and ministries to put those booklets and a packet of spiritual support for people facing cancer in the hands of chaplains and cancer organizations across the country. So we're just now kicking off our pilot. We have a webinar next week, and it'll be a 60-day pilot to see how we can get those materials into the hands of folks walking the cancer journey and offer them Unity's version of spiritual support through Daily Word, through Silent Unity Prayer Ministry, just taking what we do and putting it out there in a different way. So yes. That's the focus of the outreach portion of this department. The other pieces and parts of the department, the international affiliates for Silent Unity and Daily Word are part of outreach. Our direct response, our blessing booklets, and our newsletters are part of the department, and also the Unity Archives, which is another area that I'm really excited about because we're partnering with Mark Hicks, licensed Unity teacher from the Austin, Texas area, and his ministry, Truth Unity, to help make our archives not just a static on-campus resource, but a truly online outreach, making all of the wonderful spiritual resources available to the public for free.
That is fantastic. Yeah, I think that's important. And yeah, he does wonderful work, doesn't he?
He does.
Seen his site, it's great. Yeah. Okay, I'm with Mark. First, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to ask him, What is your passion? What fires you up? What floats your boat? All right, let's listen to these messages from Unity. We'll be right back.
Wouldn't you like to share the programs that inspire you most with audiences around the world? That's easier than ever with mobile giving. Just text Unity Radio to 72727 and help us continue offering spiritual programs that change lives.
I'm Dr. Tom Shepherd, host of Let's Talk About It on Unity Online Radio. In my studies of world religions, I've repeatedly encountered two central spiritual questions. How do we make sense of life, and how do we live it more successfully? You're invited to explore these two questions with me in my new book, The Many Faces of Prayer, How the Human Family Meets Its Spiritual Needs. You'll be amazed at the remarkable ways people have learned to pray to their gods and to celebrate life individually and as communities of faith. Learn more at unitybooks.org.
Been listening to World Spirituality with host Reverend Paul John Roach. To learn more about Reverend Paul John Roach, visit his website, pauljohnroach.com. Or if you have questions, email him at pauljohnroach@yahoo.com. We now return to World Spirituality.
All right, welcome back to today's show. I'm with Reverend Mark Fuss. We're talking about his life, his journey, and what fires him up, you know, because I don't think there's any point going forward with your life unless you've got some kind of passion, right? And that's especially true of somebody like a minister or somebody in the service profession who is, you know, giving something to others. If you're just blah, it's no fun for you or anybody else. So there has to be that passion, that energy. So what is it that fires you up the most, Mark?
Well, you know, it's interesting because for me, it's providing a spiritual experience similar to what I found when I first found Unity. And in any way, shape, or form that shows up. Part of that, I think, is why I love the new job so much. It's taking Unity's unique message of original blessing and worthiness and potentiality and putting it in front of people in a way that lifts them. There are a couple of things that really float my boat, if you will, and it's anything with a creative outlet. When Unity Institute closed a couple of years ago, and I was looking at, you know, what's next? What do I want to do? How do I want to do ministry? I had a conversation with the CEO at the time, and her question to me was the same. You know, what's your passion? And I said, well, I need a creative outlet. I need a ministry outlet. I need a connection point. And I believe I've found it in this new position. There's certainly lots of connections on a personal level. Travel really excites me. I tend to travel two or three times a year. I've led the Travel with Unity program for the last 7 years.
You've gone to all kinds of places, haven't you? I think the one coming up is the Canadian. Canadian Rockies.
Rockies by train. Sure.
Where else have you been?
Well, last year we did a tour through Ireland, and each trip we try to connect Unity spirituality with where we're visiting. So in Ireland, it was certainly Celtic spirituality. With the Canadian Rockies, we're gonna delve into transcendentalists and Emerson and Thoreau and nature as the glorified face of God. Before that, we went to Budapest, Vienna, and Prague, the heart of Europe. We've done 2 weeks in India, Sri Lanka, and Singapore.
Wow.
Yeah, we did a cruise of the Mediterranean following in the footsteps of Paul. That was quite wonderful. And the very first Travel with Unity trip was a trip to Egypt led by my friend Reverend Kelly Isola. That was the only trip that I haven't been on. And we've done a couple of fun in the sun cruises where we, you know, just traveling with Unity friends.
Right. Lovely. Yeah, remember I've gone to Sri Lanka twice now in my life, and is it twice or three times? Can't remember. Mm-hmm. Quite a bit, and I met my late wife there years and years ago, back in the hippie days.
Wow.
There's something remarkable about that island, isn't there?
There really
I know
is.
It's been hit by the tsunami, and that damaged it slightly, but it's both gorgeously. Naturally gorgeous, but also has a sense of spirituality because the mix of Buddhism and Hinduism.
Yes,
and it's just a lovely place to visit.
It is the energy there is just wonderful. The temples we were in multiple temples over the time that we were there. It's just really is breathtaking.
Did you go to Kandy?
Yes, we did. Yes,
yeah, one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So travel, I love to travel myself, and my wife and I also travel. We try and travel at least two times a year if we can, but I'm aware of the adage that you don't have to go anywhere to find the truth, without
right.
leaving your room, as the Tao Te Ching puts it, you can know the whole world, right? So that's true. But I also think travel is wonderful as long as you don't expect to be finding things, because it's always within yourself. And
right.
once you bring yourself to a place in fullness, then you begin to appreciate the place. I think that's the key. So travel is special, in the sense that you're not expecting it. You have to release expectations, and then you really can feel a place.
Right. Just be present to what is. And for me, that's part of one of the joys of traveling with Unity people, because I generally find as an overall group, they're a joy to travel with. they're looking for whatever comes. You know, it doesn't need to be a specific way.
Right. I took a group to Tibet and Nepal back in, I think it was 2000 now. We took 33 people. It was a large group. And I remember I had to take a vacation after the vacation.
Right.
Because it was so exhausting. But particularly so, I think, in the Himalayas, because, you know, you're at such a height anyway in Tibet.
And the altitude, yeah.
That was exhausting, and the altitude. But also, it's the third world, and there's a lot of work to keep people safe in these areas.
Right.
And it was wonderful. It was a glorious, life-changing time, but a lot of work. And in fact, another group was traveling at the same time, led by Barbara O'Hearn, another friend of Unity. And it was funny to see her, you know, there she was in Lhasa. And he's like, oh, what are you doing here? 12,000 miles from your normal place where you hang out.
That's true. It's funny how it seems like such a small planet when you run into someone. I know twice recently when we were in Venice on a water taxi, ran into some folks from the Kansas City CSL Church, the Center
Isn't
for
that
Spiritual
amazing?
Living.
Yeah.
And then last there year in Ireland, when we got there, we were sharing the bus with another small group of 11 people, and they were from the Johnson County Parks and Rec, our neighboring county here in Kansas City. So, what are the chances?
Well, the chances are high, I guess, if you believe in synchronicity and, you know, the fact that everything, there's more going on than meets the eye, right? There's connectedness. And this is also good in the sense it keeps us safe because if we're all vibrating at a certain level of awareness, we're not going to be in harm's way because we're only going to be in places where we are taken care of and looked after.
Right.
And I think that's very important when we trust spirit. In Unity, you're always told to wrap the white light around yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've always taught. And I think there is something to that, you know, that you acknowledge I'm a spiritual being living in a spiritual universe. You know, all is well. The mantle of white light of protection is around me wherever I go. And I know right now a lot of people are in fear. A lot of people are putting scapegoats, you know, on certain other people and minorities, whatever it might be. There's a lot of confusion. So how do you approach that? How are you living through this period of time where so many people are antsy and upset by our administration, by our world in general, you know, by all the craziness?
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, it's really living our fifth principle, which is, you know, that it's not enough just to know the truth. We have to live it. And, you know, one of my values is inclusivity and diversity and just being able to embrace everyone. The experience doesn't mean I always like the experience I'm in, but, you know, just being open to what comes and really showing up in that open, loving, compassionate spirit.
Yeah.
Part of it for me these days is living the platinum rule instead of the golden rule, is not treating people as I would want them to treat me, but looking for treating someone how they want to be treated. I'm involved on a peripheral way with the Greater Kansas City Interfaith Council, so really staying plugged in to the needs of those around me and being supportive.
So you can't do that, though, without a certain amount of empathy, right?
Correct.
We have to step outside of ourselves and our own human concerns in order to understand what another person's needs might be. You know,
right.
And I think once we do that, compassion arises and we embrace them for who they are. You know, I was thinking about our President Trump, you know, and some people have so many different views about him. Some think he's doing an absolutely fantastic job, you know, and others think he's the worst thing that's ever happened. So there's a lot of spread of viewpoints. But I can't help but think that so many of the things that he does and the way he acts is because he's trying to live up to a certain standard. You know, he's trying to please his father. I mean, and I know that's psychoanalyzing the guy, you know, and I'm not a psychologist. But it seems pretty clear sometimes that, you know, that he has this need to be right, you know, to be loved, to be perfect, and everything around him needs to be perfect and can't tolerate criticism. You know, I could take it negatively and be annoyed with him, but if I understand him a little more and what his motivations are, you know, I can feel compassion. I don't have to agree with it, but I can feel a certain compassion for the person, and that softens my stance then. I don't feel so confused and upset, you know, because I can embrace him a little more. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, the one point I would make, too, is that whatever your viewpoint on our current situation, I think it's safe to say that President Trump is acting as a spiritual catalyst for those who agree with him and for those who disagree with him. There's work to be done.
Well, you know, somebody put up on the post yesterday 24 points of how America is being made great again, you know, and it's being made great again, not in the way perhaps that Trump meant
right.
it, but the fact that, like you said, it has inspired many people to be heard. You know, it has caused us to look at our Constitution and see what we truly value, and got lethargic people out into the streets, you
right.
know, to make a stand or whatever. So it's amazing, isn't it? As the Bible says, everything works together for good. You know, once we remember to love God, to see that there is the divine within it, and everything can be good in that sense.
Right. Right.
So, what about unity itself? You know, some people say, oh, you know, unity is being co-opted by other churches now. You know, the Methodists are teaching it. Joel Osteen's teaching unity. You know, Oprah's teaching it. It's out there. It's no longer our special little fiefdom here as a unity church, as
right.
a unity movement. So we're in decline now because we're not radical enough for the real out there spiritual people. But we're teaching the same thing that everybody else is. So what's going to happen? So
yeah.
How would you respond to that?
I don't know that I would agree with the decline piece. Part of me sees
right.
it as, sure, it's not like the 60s when positive practical Christianity, you know, was all the rave, when the word from unity was on as public service announcements. But at the same time, those teachings and those ideas they've become mainstream. So for me, I see that as a success for unity and for New Thought. Many of the key ideas that we hold dear are accepted and fairly mainstream. You know, when you reference Joel Osteen, you know, he certainly, well, still has a very traditional bent with the way he opens his program, but many of the things he's teaching are philosophically in alignment with unity and much of New Thought. So
yes.
For me, I see that as a success. I do think unity has some things to look at in terms of you know, it's hard not to become complacent in the way we do things and the way we show up. I see our current world climate as something that's shaking a lot of us up and saying, okay, so how do we do things differently? How do I need to show up in the world to be the spiritual catalyst that I want to be?
And I was talking with Robert Brummett in the first series on interviewing ministers and talking about Fillmorians, you know, those that want to go back to a more
sure.
traditional Fillmorian attitude and back to basics and the fundamentals of unity. And he said, you know, if Fillmore was living today, he probably wouldn't be a Fillmorian.
No, yes.
You know, because his ideas would have moved on from where he was back then.
Exactly.
And I thought that was a very good point, you know. So are you a progressive when it comes to unity, or do you want to go back to pure Fillmorian teachings?
I'm more progressive. The church that I first came out of, the Unity Church that I first came out of, was core, you know, very traditional Unity, but it also had more of a left of center. You would hear Fillmore, you would hear classic metaphysical teachings, but at the same time, we were exploring what Buddha said about the same topic, or, you know, so that was my roots in Unity. I'm more progressive. I once wrote an article for Unity Magazine called New Voices in Unity, and it really took the teachings of Byron Katie and Bishop Spong and Eckhart Tolle and paired them with quotes from Charles Fillmore.
Right.
You know, and there's a quote that I remember, and it was Reverend Michael Moran several years ago, and it was much the same discussion about, you know, should we go back, should we go forward? And Michael said that he believed that the Fillmore's intention was for Unity to be a spiritual laboratory rather than a spiritual museum. It wasn't so much about going back to the past, but looking at how those teachings apply to us today.
Yes, and I think that's key, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have a dogma or a doctrine yet in Unity, and that's its inbuilt strength, I think. You know, we have principles, and principles evolve as we evolve,
right.
You know, as human beings. So I think it would be a sad day if we did come to some kind of, you know, book of teaching, book of dogma, and that's the only way you can look at it. I mean, part of the joy for me is being a spiritual maverick a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. I didn't fit in to traditional ways of looking, and so Unity is a wonderful fit for me because it doesn't require that I do so. You know, it's allowed me to teach, you know, Buddhism and Hinduism and Sufism in my community and still feel I'm a Unity person, you know, because there's that perennial philosophy that we're talking about that permeates all spiritual traditions, mm-hmm. right? And Unity, Unity's unique, I think, in the sense that it actually allows for that. You
right.
know, most religions have an element of the mystical within them, but we have it as the central focus of our teaching, and that makes it kind of remarkable, I think, that practical spirituality, practical mysticism is what we're about, you know.
And, it is.
That's a wonderful concept to build a movement around. You know?
It is. There was a thread running through my seminary experience that still really resonates with me, and it was transcend and include. So we're taking those deep traditions of practical metaphysics and the Fillmore teachings and including them in who we are, but we're also, you know, exploring and taking that spiritual journey to the next level. The other quote that's really been resonating with me with so much change and innovation in my life in the last 10 years, I recently read a quote where they said, it was a minister, and she said, "We have to be deeply rooted in tradition to innovate with integrity."
Mm.
That really spoke to me because we do. We need to know who we are and be rooted in where we come from in order to move forward with integrity.
Yes. And so it's a marriage, isn't it? It's a marriage of both.
It is.
I think Michael Beckwith calls it ageless wisdom and new thought. You know, we like to call ourselves new thought, but it's not. It doesn't quite cover everything.
No,
it's nice that we have that ancient wisdom married to new thought, because then you've got the both, the strong foundation, the roots, and also the branches, you know, going out and fruiting in wonderful ways. All right, in the last few minutes, what would you tell our audience if you could sum up your belief system, something of help that can help people in their lives this week? What would it be?
Well, I once wrote a short story called Welcome to Unique You, and it was about a university of uniqueness. And so that's really my gospel, that no matter who you are, where you are on your spiritual journey, you're welcome in Unity. You are worthy. You live in a realm of great possibility. And I think that's something that people need to hear. People want to belong, to connect, and to make a difference.
Yes. And it reminds me of the saying where, you know, you are unique and beautiful just like everybody else, you know, right. But we're all unique and beautiful, right? And it
yes.
seems like a paradox, doesn't it? but to acknowledge our own uniqueness, I think, and then acknowledge that everybody else, you know, is you, because there's a stage on the spiritual path where you believe you are unique. You know, look at me, I've made it through, I've made these breakthroughs, I've transcended. One day you'll catch up, but not
right.
yet. You know, I'm so spiritually advanced. But the deeper part of the path is realizing, yeah, I've made these breakthroughs, and it's made me nothing special. You know, it's connected me to everything.
Exactly.
It's that empathy and compassion we talked about earlier. Yeah, and that's not always an easy one to embody. You know, it requires a certain amount of humility.
Right. That's very true.
But I want to thank you for all the work you've done in Unity and continue to do. I got a feeling that, as Phil Pearson would say, the best is yet to be, right?
There's
wonderful work for you in this outreach capacity here.
Well, thank you, and I'll affirm that with you. The best is yet to be.
There we go. All right, let me tell you about next week, and then we'll say goodbye to Mark. Next week, as I mentioned earlier, Unity Minister Reverend Charlene Manuel joins me on the show to share her remarkable journey and the strengths and challenges of being an African-American minister in the Unity movement, and we could expand that, say, in the world as well, I guess. So I know you're going to find much of interest from her next week, and we give thanks for the gentle, strong soul of Mark Fuss. So thanks, Mark, for being with us today.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
And thanks for listening. See you next week. All right, bye-bye now.
Thank you for tuning in to World Spirituality with Reverend Paul John Roach. Join us every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Central to further examine the spiritual teachings and religious traditions of our world and to discover the universal truth principles present in all. World Spirituality, only on UnityOnlineRadio.org, the voice of an awakening world. This program is brought to you in part by Unity Church of Fort Worth in Fort Worth, Texas, celebrating the Christ Spirit in all people. Online at www.unityfortworth.org. Notice that there might be something not quite right, but you just can't put your finger on it? We may describe it as an inner stirring, a restlessness, a yearning to find our way home to our heart and higher purpose. Some of us may feel like we are living on borrowed time, that despite our accomplishments, what was once so important to us now just feels empty and meaningless. If you find your heart longing, wanting, looking for a path home to authenticity and purpose, join us for transformation, inspiration, hope, and possibility. Move toward your higher calling. Listen to The Call of Spirit with Evelyn Foreman and tune in to Possibility every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Central Time here on Unity Online Radio.
Of spiritually conscious living start now. For a time-tested method to live with purpose and release your infinite potential, tune in to the Yoga Hour, Living the Eternal Way, with Yogacharya Ellen Grace O'Brien, every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Pacific, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Each of us has a unique purpose, a special gift to offer the world. Despite the differences in our talents and abilities, there is one gift that we all can share, the gift of peace. Peace isn't something that takes a particular talent. It's an ability we all possess. All we have to do is tap into it. Peace doesn't require a certain set of circumstances either, but rather a state of willingness. When I do whatever is mine to do from that place of peace within, I contribute to the peace of the world. James Dillett Freeman said, "I give the gifts that are mine to give, as naturally as a tree gives shade or a bird song. It is my nature to give. I give peace. Peace can begin with me."
To find a Unity Church near you, please visit our website at www.unity.org.
Does the idea of being a vegetarian or a vegan intrigue you? Is it something you've pondered? Listen each week as Victoria Moran, author of Main Street Vegan, shows you how to make the shift to a sustainable lifestyle for both you and the planet. Each week you'll learn about the latest on the vegan life. It's not just for celebrities and moguls, but for people just like you who want to look and feel amazing, eat extraordinary food, help animals, and create a physical body perfectly attuned to spiritual growth. Guests will range from Unity ministers to vegan authors, activists, physicians, chefs, and even some of those glittery celebs. There'll be recipes, ideas, tips for going vegan at your own pace, and ways to make a difference for animals and the planet at every meal. Tune in Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Central Time for Main Street Vegan, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Tens of thousands of listeners, like you, have been transformed through the ministry of Paulette Pipe and her program, Touching the Stillness, one of the longest-running programs on Unity Online Radio. Paulette's latest album of guided meditations, Blissful Stillness, is a new and different experience. The mystical quality of her beautiful voice will reverberate through a Zen-style meditation, a mudra meditation, which are yoga hand positions to deepen your practice, and guided meditations, which we know and love. It features a new instrumental sound by Kelly Hunt with a bonus track by Kathy Zavada. Experience a blissful immersion into quiet and stillness by purchasing your own copy at shop.unityonline.org.
Blissful stillness come.
I will leave this world as it is.
The world is full of voices, advertising, television, politics, colleagues, family, and friends. All are too happy to tell us how to live. In all of that noise, it's easy to miss the one voice that matters, your own soul. What would happen if you could hear that voice? Imagine the clarity, confidence, and courage that would be yours and the life you could create. Join Janet Connor, best-selling author of Writing Down Your Soul, The Lotus and the Lily, and Your Soul Wants Five Things, as she and her guests explore how to hear the call of the soul and create the soul-directed life. Live Thursday at 1 p.m. Central, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Go inside to find my God.
Have you ever considered that everything you think, say, and do is a prayer to the universe? What would your life be like if you activated the power of yes? Join Reverend Beverly Molander and her exciting guests on Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes, to find out how they activated the power of yes in their lives, their communities, or even the world. If they can do it, you can too. Listen to Beverly Molander and her guests live every Monday at noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, on Affirmative Prayer, Activating the Power of Yes, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Every moment we live can be holy, and all we need to do to experience that state is to make the decision to do so. Everything we do can be a prayer, and by using our innate creativity with intention, in every aspect of our lives, that can indeed be true. Author Carla Kincannon wrote, "Creativity is so much more than art making. It is a tool for navigating through everyday experiences to find the sacred in each God-given moment." Discover Creative Spirit, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Central Time, and experience the joy of connecting to spirit through creative expression.
It is the birthright of each and every one of us to live an awakened life. Most religions and spiritual traditions teach us that we need to adopt a certain belief system or follow some prescribed steps to attain a state of enlightenment. A long-held belief about awakening is that only a small number of people destined to become gurus or spiritual teachers can attain it. It is certainly true that until recent times, only a small number of people on the planet had attained this state of full self-realization. These saints, mystics, and spiritual masters were seen as special. They certainly were, at the time. However, times are changing. This message was brought to you by T.J. Woodward, host of Awakened Living Radio. Learn more from T.J. on his weekly podcasts. Episodes are available on UnityOnlineRadio.org, iTunes, and Google Play Music.
Do you experience the peace and joy promised by A Course in Miracles? Or are you still struggling to truly live your beliefs from moment to moment? Let Reverend Jennifer Hadley help you focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace, through practical application by walking your talk. Experience the healing live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central on A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
The benefits of spiritually conscious living start now. For a time-tested method to live with purpose and release your infinite potential, tune in to the Yoga Hour, Living the Eternal Way, with Yogacharya Ellen Grace O'Brien, every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Pacific, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
The world is full of voices, advertising, television, politics, colleagues, family, and friends. All are too happy to tell us how to live. In all of that noise, it's easy to miss the one voice that matters, your own soul. What would happen if you could hear that voice? Imagine the clarity, confidence, and courage that would be yours and the life you could create. Join Janet Connor, best-selling author of Writing Down Your Soul, The Lotus and the Lily, and Your Soul Wants Five Things, as she and her guests explore how to hear the call of the soul and create the soul-directed life. Live Thursday at 1 p.m. Central, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Go inside to find.
Do you experience the peace and joy promised by A Course in Miracles? Or are you still struggling to truly live your beliefs from moment to moment? Let Reverend Jennifer Hadley help you focus on your intent to be the love, be the peace, through practical application by walking your talk. Experience the healing live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central on A Course in Miracles, Living the Love, Walking the Talk, only on Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Let go of everyday worries and find your calm with positive prayer from Silent Unity, the newest in voice-activated technology, available on any Alexa-enabled device like the Amazon Echo. Each prayer and meditation on positive prayer will help strengthen, guide, and comfort you. To enable it, just say, "Alexa, open positive prayer." You can ask for a specific prayer on topics like healing, prosperity, and comfort. Give it a try today.